In a world where Toku fans are easy and the wrong figure arts are released for retail, three man children stand not quite shoulder to shoulder with their trusty spray can at their side, united across timelines and space against the congealed, grimdark 90s inspired hordes. Shuku and Shinobi, Dossum Rifle, Jedi Mom, Aerosol. Their mission, to bring you the latest Toku news in the craziest way possible. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles Season 4. If you don't listen to this show, you don't know anything about Tokusatsu.
Hello, welcome to our Season 4, Episode 50.
You son of a meech! E. Yeah,
that's what I went with. It.
Yep.
Sticking to his guns.
It annoyed you so much, I just couldn't resist. I know it's a good title whenever I get those, oh my god.
So, one-ups.
A fucking creeper.
Yes, hi, me.
Hi.
I kind of hope that makes it through the filter.
Cat laughs. I mean, Ryan laughs every time his cat meows. It's pretty funny. See? He just meowed. He cracked up.
That's adorable. I really got nothing. I don't think I've bought anything. Oh, I found a Vecker in the X-Borg, finally.
I am.
Yes, I did, May. I found it.
I am.
She's like, you know, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but I got Yoshi's New Island, finally. I was playing that a little bit.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
How far are you?
World 2.
That's where I'm at, because I stopped to play that Pokemon game for the past month. Like, every day of my life.
But yeah, that's...
Isn't it
really
awesome?
It is really cool. I think a lot of the... Not the soundtrack itself, but... They basically remixed a lot of the... like, menu tracks and stuff from the first game. And it's a little bit weird at first because I'm so used to the first game's menu soundtracks that the remix ones are really weird. But no, it's a really fun game. It is in all essence of the word a sequel. Like it's like they took the formula from Yoshi's Island and then just upgraded the graphics, and that was basically what they did. And I like it.
How do you feel about how they made each of the three items like separate instead of making it like a you get a score.
I approve of that because it's easier to manage.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, if you go through the level and, like, you fuck up one thing, like, you miss one coin or you get hit and lose your stars or whatever. It's a lot easier to manage and 100% the levels, not having to worry about managing all three at one time. So I do like that. It makes things a little bit easier.
Yeah.
But it's a good game so far. I do recommend. If you liked Yoshi's Island, definitely check it out. If you didn't like Yoshi's Island, then we'll go away. But
now, does it make you want to go buy that set of 10 colored Yoshis on AmiAmi?
No. That's oh, just
well. Sorry, I like Yoshi a lot. And the idea of colored Yoshis.
That's all.
Not colored as in like racist like Dawson.
There is a black one though.
There is a black one, but that's not how I meant color. That's somebody else on this show.
Yeah, that's it. I got nothing else. Life's boring.
I know, you suck.
Yep.
Okay, my turn. Let's see. I got some stuff from CS Toys. I got... What did I get? Diesel Resha, Kachidoki Arms, and something else that I'm blanking on. Whatever else. Oh, the stupid Tyson lock set. So I got those three from them. I haven't bought anything else other than that. I haven't found anything in person, really, or anything online. I have started my Samurai rewatch, so that's going pretty fun. Gold power.
So how many cutting scars do you have already?
None. It's been pretty fun.
All
right. I'm liking it.
I don't know what you do in your spare time, I thought.
And I also... I ended up, like, binge-watching the majority of Orange is the New Black, like, last Saturday. I still have, like, 4 episodes left.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch it, and it's been on my...
Aerosol's awake.
Oh, really?
Well, no, I've actually seen that show, and...
Yeah, I know,
wondering what you think.
A while back. Yeah, I really like it. Obviously, since I watched so many of them in a row, like it's been in my queue forever. And I saw it there. I'm like, oh, let's watch episode one. And then I ended up watching like 8 episodes in a row or something.
Well, I disagree. No, I'm joking. I actually really enjoyed it.
Changed my opinion. Actually, I hate it. No, but yeah, and I mean, I knew the basic premise of it, but I didn't expect it to have so many light moments, which is why it was so easy to watch. Like, I'm pretty sure I would have serious mood swings if I watched 8 episodes of Breaking Bad in a row. But this, like, it's got a nice little balance to it. And,
actually,
you know,
it's partially based off of a real story, too.
Yeah, I read that. Because whenever I get a new show, I immediately check the Wikipedia page. But I'm probably going to finish it on Saturday. I have, like, 4 episodes left. But I just got to the episode where... Chapman and I forget her name in the show, Karen from How I Met Your Mother, hooked up, and I imagine that Jason Biggs just walks in and she's just like, sorry bro, just because she's Karen. And so I thought it was funny, but yeah, I really enjoyed that, and I'm looking forward to finishing it. But at the same time, like, I think the new season comes out in June or something like that, so it's like a month wait. So
I watched
the
trailer for it.
I'm kind of glad I didn't finish it all right away, so that I waited a little bit, so it's then a little bit of a less wait. But so yeah, that was fun. The only other thing I've been up to other than watching those two shows was I am like a little more than halfway through my second playthrough of Infamous on the evil expert level, and that's been really fun. Actually, it's not like an amazing difference between the powers, but it's enough that it's really fun, and the smoke powers are super powerful in this one. You just melt everybody. It's pretty fun. That's about all.
Well, I am up to 80% of the Pokemon in that game. I'm not playing it at the moment, so I'm kind of twitching, but that's fine. I don't have a problem. I can quit whenever I want to. My box featuring Kurokage AC that I feared might have been lost has arrived. So that's good. And also my CS Toys box with the Shocker Combatant lock seed and the Kachidoki Arms AC has arrived. The Kachidoki Arms has to be one of the most difficult ACs to transform. Like the actual little armor back into the fruit. It's just really awkward. I spent a while trying to do it and like line everything up right. And although there was that great feeling of accomplishment when I finally did it, I was like, yay, I did it. I'm a big boy. Shut up. Okay. The little things. But so that's a thing. Let's see. We're almost caught up on Arrow. We just have this most recent episode and then last week's to watch. So we should hopefully be done by next week and get caught up.
Tokyo's on its way.
Tokyo's on its way. That's a thing. Speaking of Tokyo, my CS Toys box should be here any day now that has Diesel Russia. What did I just buy? Diesel Russia, that movie set, and the Joker, Deno Climax form, and Black RX lock seeds.
Yeah, Joker.
that's a dumb old joke. And still waiting for Zangetsu Shin to arrive in those OCCs I bought. And they ship the 5 WFCs I bought and the Hibiki movie disc animal set because I have a problem.
That's an understatement.
Look, I have an addiction, okay? And I'm fine with that. We finished season 3 of Supernatural. We're on season 4. And we also started watching The Walking Dead. So we're on episode 2. Like half, we're almost done episode 2. We try to watch
They're
it like
They're catching up to you, Brian.
What? Well, the thing is, we can only really watch it if Kaylee's not in the house, or at the very least not awake, because she tends to just like walk in, and we'd really have her walk in the room with like zombies and blood and guts everywhere.
That's what makes it fun.
Yeah, so we're probably not going to like get caught up on that anytime soon, but we're at least working on it. So we're kind of catching up on all that. Probably we'll start catching up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. soon, I guess, after we finish, once we get caught up on Arrow. I don't know. It's like a chore around here because we don't have any free time, but whatever. I'm doing Ranger... I'm doing Ranger Key week and a half on my channel. Everyone's enjoying that. Stossum's tweaking on it. He's cutting himself every time he sees another one go out. Like, more fucking keys. Go away, keys.
Pack your keys and go.
I just see the book backdrop and start laughing.
You know, the interesting thing about that, and this is what I was telling them last night, is the two... I think it's only two of them, huh, Brian? I think two of them.
So far, I don't know if you got like...
Well, there's no more. No. Because all these other ones are these exclusive sets that I just got. Dawson, you reviewed a Blue Eyes White Dragon figure?
Hell yes.
Sorry, I just went to YouTube to look, and the two reviews with the book background, one of them was last modified January of 2013. The other one was modified December of 2013. So, and actually, I think it was recorded a couple of months before then because it's got the book background and I was already moved into the house. I just edited it that in December. It was probably recorded like in the middle of the year or something, June. I think it said that's when it was last full. I don't know, but yeah, they were last full with like 3-year-old there. So that's fun. I'm sorry, March 2013. So yeah, those reviews are over 1 year old and they're finally getting uploaded. If I actually start doing the rest of my backlog, you'll notice more of backgrounds with the books because I have a lot of those left over that just never went up. So Aerosol can talk, I guess.
Well,
I mean, no one really wants him to, but we'll let him talk.
Well, the other day a house down the street from me burned down. And
sweet.
Now I'm eating ice cream.
Aerosol.
So, God damn it.
Sorry.
I don't know. You guys missed the punchline. Whatever.
For some reason, I'm picturing you watching the house burn down while eating the ice cream.
Okay.
Like it's fireworks. What happened? Why did it burn down?
I don't know.
That just happens sometimes. Houses, electrical stuff, politics. I don't know.
I just really didn't have anything to say, so I mentioned the house. And I'm currently eating some ice cream, so... Figured, why not put them together?
Two great tastes. Fire and ice cream.
You know that's right.
All right. So, Brian, how was that Ferris wheel? I just wanted to see how Ferris wheel was.
Well, I got somebody who wants me to, like, give away keys on my channel. Like, if you get more keys, give some away into a contest. No. Fuck you.
I apologize. I can never tell when I'm muted or not.
No update on the Ferris wheel. I guess it's time for the news, then. Nobody... The Ferris wheel.
It's majestic.
Fuck that Ferris wheel. Nah. I can't say the words I want to say because Brian will beat me out with like a spring noise or something.
Seriously, what was that Ferris wheel thing about, Kevin?
What?
Ferris wheel? Last night you said,
he doesn't know.
You said, Brian, get off that Ferris wheel. And then Brian laughed and goes, what?
When did I say that?
Last night.
I knew Brian it. He was dreaming about it, and he was talking in his sleep.
Wait, I told Brian to get off of a Ferris wheel?
Yes. Confirmed. Kevin has dreams about Brian riding a Ferris wheel.
Were we recording at the time?
I don't think
Unfortunately,
so.
Unfortunately, no.
No.
I honestly don't know what you're talking about, because I don't remember saying that.
It's pretty great. Get off that Ferris wheel.
you remember the IC's party incident?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I still, to this day, have no knowledge of you making that phone call. Like, I kind of remember, like, the phone ringing. But I don't remember the conversation or that it was you that called. I remember being asleep. The phone rang. I answered it. I don't know who it was or what happened. And I went back to sleep.
I see his party.
I forgot about that. Man.
Go. I forgot about it, too. I just remembered. So that's... it's entirely possible that I told Brian to get off of a Ferris wheel.
I was moderately offended because I really enjoyed the Ferris wheel.
There she was, making it tilt.
You just really didn't want me on that Ferris wheel.
Get off the Ferris wheel. I'm trying to ride it. Anyway, speaking of Ferris wheels, time for the news or the nudes.
What are you talking about? We already had our first story. Brian was on a Ferris wheel.
First story about Kevin's dreams of Brian. So what should we start with then?
The dreams of Brian usually involve my pants being wet when I wake up. Is that a bad thing?
Well, I would like to start with the Tokyo Drift scare.
Sounds good.
Good.
Panda train, man. Fucking panda train.
So there's nothing actually new, but we obviously have clear scans, and we finally see the other modes for Safari Gao and Build Dio.
And Chocho Tokyo Gao. Oh, Chocho?
Chocho sounds like some sort of derogatory Asian name. Look, it's Chocho. I don't. Anyway.
Chocho, Ching Chong, whatever. I think Dawson.
See, exactly.
Yellow squinty eyed people or something.
Oh my god.
So I guess starting with Build Dio, he's amazing.
I actually like him.
Build Dio's robot mode is probably the most coherent of the three robots, and it just looks really cool. I like it.
Yeah, I like him a lot too. And then he becomes roller skates and a scarf.
Yeah. He so when you combine Tokyo, Dieselo, and Build Dio, you get Chocho Tokyo. Wow. And it's basically Cho Tokyo, but part of Build Dio becomes like this big floofy scarf. And then like the lower half just sort of lays down and becomes a weird like reverse scooter. And it's really, really bad.
It looks like Tokyo just put on his big, like, poofy coat and went out to play in the snow.
You know what, though? I like that they all combine, though, because it's so much easier to store them. Because I'm running out of room for Mecha right now, and it's nice that you can just put them all in one blob. It makes it so much easier.
I kind of like it. And actually, I hope that, because you know there's going to be, like, that final end-of-year Mecha, like they do. I'm really hoping that it, and then Police and Fire, will combine with this. Because Police and Fire aren't in this combination.
Giant Hospital Train.
Giant Hospital Train, and then all 13, I think it would be 13, 12, 12 because Build is 11. All 12 of them can combine together into, you know, Tokyo G12 or whatever.
Cho-cho-cho,
Tokyo. Cho-cho-cho, Tokyo.
It's got its own jingle.
It's the song, man. I'm already writing the song for it. You didn't know?
But yeah, like I said, I really like Build Dio on his own, and I think Chocho might work, as a toy once we have it in hand, because it's unfortunately at that same angle where it's, like, pointing upward, really bulky, and sometimes it's not the case. It probably will be with this guy, because he's just, like, a really big rectangle. But we'll see. We also have the alternate scans for Safari Gao.
Yes.
So we've seen the robot already. But
it's tiny,
now
tiny head.
It does a really
it's the
tiny
opposite
head.
Of Zach.
Like, it's not so much that his head's tiny, it's the fact that the head is offset by a giant backpack piece. So it makes his head look teeny weeny tiny because it's offset against this giant brick that's on its back. But, I mean, like we said before, it's a remold of Tokyo done up in animals instead of just generic trains. All of the trains have animal themes. I know we have, obviously the main one's a lion. There was an alligator.
An eagle.
An eagle. My personal favorite, a panda, which is terrific.
Gives a new mini to Panda Express. Cat.
Oh my god, I never thought about that. Oh my god, I'm so happy. And that, if that ever pops up in the show, that's what the subs are gonna say.
I'm gonna walk into a Panda Express and be like, "Pandarasha, Pandarasha."
Do we know what the last one is?
It's a cat.
A cat? Okay.
That's what they said.
Because I couldn't really tell.
I couldn't read it, but someone said it was a cat, so that's what I went with. All the news networks, even the reputable ones, were reporting cat. So. All
right. And what makes this a little bit more unique compared to Tokyo is the fact that it has an alternate mode of an actual, like, full-size lion.
That's pretty neat.
It's basically, take Tokyo and, like, lay him, like, in a missionary position.
Yes! I want to take it missionary position.
And claws attached to the arm trains. And then you have the lion face attached to the front. That big blocky thing that goes on his back attaches to the like the thigh pieces of the legs, and then the actual feet parts attach to that. So it makes a four-legged lion, and I think it's really cool. The biggest gripe I have with it is probably the color. I don't mind the five individual colors, obviously, but I think with it being white, it at least in the toy catalogs, it might look a lot better in person. Make it look a little bit plain. But
to be fair, everything in Tokyo is plain.
That is true. I don't know. Maybe they're going for a weird Kimba the White Lion reference. I don't know. I like the idea behind it absolutely, and I'm looking forward to that coming out.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Now, my question to you, we did have that questionable scan and that whole rumor thing with like a Tokyo Zero being white.
That is true.
Do you think that this will be like kind of like a Toba Spino type thing where they're just going to basically do that story over again?
They could. It's definitely going to be the movie mecha. Pretty much no questions asked. And as we all know, the movie mecha pop up in the show. Toba Spino more than past ones have.
And then he never pops up again online unless he's 15,000 yen.
I seen one for 25,000.
God, it's ridiculous. I want to meet someone in a back alley like Brian did.
I'm so glad I got my Toba Spino.
And so I definitely see that popping up.
He's
whether
so much fun. I love having a Toba Spino. Like I can just look at it and go in my room and there's dinosaurs and look, it's Toba Spino. We're such good pals.
I'm not gonna be jealous of a Toba Spino.
Fuck you. Yes, you are. I will tell you what you're jealous of, goddammit.
I was jealous of the Black Kyujin, but now that's over.
Got him first.
Okay.
I need a moment, okay?
Brian, are we boring you?
We got turntables. Clear pictures of all the Sentai ones, I believe.
Yeah, not a whole lot new in those. The ones that we had actually weren't that awful.
Yeah, they weren't. I still like the way they look. They do look a little bit better, like kind of neater just having cleaned up and not being all like the blurriness, but
dirty, go through car wash, train wash.
I do like the I do like that the Sentai Russia, like, it makes me kind of happy in some ways. We could talk about Ranger Keys.
No. There's not even any Ranger Key news.
You could talk about people flipping out. I don't know, are they flipping out? I don't know.
No, people, where are
people
you?
Always flip out. That's not really anything.
I'm in my bed. Where the fuck else?
No, I mean, like, where in the news cycle are you? Like, there hasn't been a Ranger Key flip out for like weeks.
I don't know. People are always flipping out.
Let's see what else we got. Arm Change Knuckle was announced as an exclusive. So
yeah, that'll be fun. Marika and Sigurd set went up for pre-order or something, or at least the page is up, and they're showing you that. Marika is actually like a separate mold that's like shorter than Sigurd and the other riders.
She's got a giant shoulder. It seriously looks ridiculous.
Yeah, and they show you that preview of Knuckle, who'll be PB04.
Peanut butter.
I guess he's by himself. So yeah. like
no jelly. Like, can you believe it? It's like what?
So that kind of excites me. I mean, obviously, we knew they were going to do it because they're making all the writers for this line. And just
yeah, in the past, I would have been surprised. But the way that game's going, I'm really not, because they're basically making sure like they make everyone.
Like, well, you know, the AC figures are selling so well. I'm almost surprised they didn't make half of these retail releases just because of how well they're selling.
Well, we're already going to have 13.
This is essentially like with figure arts used to be, where I'm sort of relieved they're exclusive, even though they're more money. At least I know I can get one, and I don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. I still can't get the Pine and Ichigo set, motherfuckers. Okay.
I love my Pine and Ichigo set, friends.
Fruit bump.
I will cut you.
Fruit bump. It's even better than a regular fist bump. It's delicious.
Don't we still have one more toy catalog for Gaim?
No idea.
I honestly don't know. Like, I know we really didn't get clear scans with the Kiwami stuff, because that was at the same time as this scans, I think. I honestly don't even know anymore.
Yeah, I guess we do need to get clear stuff for that, because that's the only thing really left to be revealed.
The last toy catalog had, like, the White Wizard Driver and stuff in it. We don't have any of the, like, the movie toys and stuff yet.
That's true. So
yeah, because you know there's going to be some kind of a movie toy. I know they're, like, the rumor's saying there's going to be more writers in the movie, so there might be something with them, an AC or Lockseed set or something like they do. Vinyl even, I don't know.
Pamphlet.
Cock ring, I don't know.
That's a jump from pamphlet. Like, that's huge, a huge genre jump.
They had signs and pamphlets.
They were dangerous. Oh, that's so good.
Savant Brands put up that. Did you watch that short?
Oh, the Robo Knight dry cleaner?
Yeah.
Was the dude Les Fortunes?
I don't know.
Cartoonist! Are you the cartoonist?
People were saying it was.
I love how people were sitting there like, it's going to be a Morphicon announcement, it's going to be a flash mob, and it's just Robo Knight going to the dry cleaners. That was pretty funny.
I like what Kiefer said. Just cancel Super Mega Force and make a Robo Knight sitcom. I would totally watch it.
Just about him running the dry cleaners now. Like, I want to see him running it. And then we can have a little black kid in the cast to, like, help do rap and stuff. You know, like, black kids. They help do rap.
Jeff pointed this out, actually. It would have made more sense in... because he went to the dry cleaners twice. It would have made more sense the second time to drop off the Super Mega Force suits.
Yeah.
And then the third time he threw down the silver suit.
Yeah.
So it would have been a cool little progression, but instead they just did normal Megaforce twice. I don't know what they were doing. They didn't have the Halloween costumes yet, so they had to bullshit. I don't know. But it was a cute little short. It wasn't... there was legitimately people that were fuming about this.
I knew there would be as soon as it happened. I'm like, people are going to be so pissed. Gets the popcorn ready.
They're like, we waited for this. Or they can't... They put money towards this, but they can't put money towards making a good show. This is bullshit.
Oh, like, people
need to calm down. It was a 3-minute short.
The only thing that annoyed me about it was when they had, like, the previous day, and they're like, tomorrow we're going to announce this. And then they're like, we're going to announce it later. And I tweeted about it. I hate those. We have news now, but we're not going to tell you till later. Like, yeah. Morphicon on Friday. Announcement Monday. You clearly know the shit now. Just tell us. I hate that. I don't have time for this. Drama. I love the drama. But I don't have time for it.
I don't have time for your shenanigans.
I'm too busy watching JDF drama unfold.
Selwyn Ward's going to be at Morphicon.
I know, I'm so excited. I got to meet him at Morphicon 2, and I got his autograph, and I got to talk to him, but I wanted to get a picture with him, because he was there, like, really quick. Like, if I recall...
That's because he runs so fast.
Yeah, exactly. It was like trying to catch the Flash, but faster. No, but I think if I remember right, he was signed up as a guest, and then he had to cancel, but then he was able to make a brief appearance, because I remember I was eating lunch in my hotel room, and Matt texted me, he's like, Selwyn Ward, in the building, oh man. And like, I just rushed down there to go get the autograph, but I didn't get to get a picture with him, because he only signed for a few minutes, and then he went to a panel, so I'm hoping to meet him again. He was super nice.
Who else is going? Meet him. I hope I can go.
It looks like Flynn might go.
Yeah, I'm hoping they get him.
Yeah,
I would love if Flynn went.
It seems like there's a bunch of people that are wanting to go, but like Morphicon never does anything. Like Jason Smith last year kept trying to contact them, but they never like acknowledged.
They always changed our number. Sorry.
It looks like Anna Hutchison might go.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be nice.
If only RJ would go. He's too busy being in the Enchanted Forest on Once Upon a Time now. So playing a dick. I didn't know RJ could be that mean.
It's also the sides.
But yeah, that's pretty cool. They're getting a lot of really nice guests this time. Like, it's not just an MMPR fest. Although I'm sure there'll still be those panels that are like the same stories over and over again.
You know it.
That's right.
Having different guests, we might actually get new stories.
Yeah, I'm still predicting Morphicon's going to be the same. Instead of the David Yost line, it's going to be the Austin St. John line. Instead of the Samurai line, it's the Megaforce line. And Brian will be off eating cookies. You know, it'll pretty much go down the same. Except talking heads.
Brian's a dick sucker, so...
Like, just a talking head. Brian's off eating cookies again. I don't know where he is.
Cuts to me.
Perfect bit planned. Oh, classic.
Like, God damn it, Brian. Fucking whore.
Anyway, speaking of whores, JDF's up to some stuff this week again. Who is it? Was it Mystic Ranger on Twitter?
Yes.
Was it him? Yeah, he met JDF.
It wasn't him. He posted
it.
He posted the story on JDF's Facebook page. It wasn't actually him that had the experience.
Okay, he was the one that sort of got like talked to him on there though on Facebook. He posted the story about the guy that met him where?
Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City, yeah.
Yeah, and that he went to meet JDF with his daughter, and they were super excited, and JDF essentially was a douchebag and, like, barely acknowledged them and played with his phone and just sort of shuffled him out of there quickly and made the little girl cry. And then they got brought back there, and they tried to go back several times, and JDF was just kind of aloof all the times. Which I had a very similar experience, and I've heard a lot of people also have. So
I had the same thing.
He's also about the fans. Yeah,
like because the thing is, when he came down here, which cause he's like, oh yeah, you know, sorry guys, if I was a little off in Salt Lake City. What did he say? Like altitude sickness or something?
Yeah,
he had.
He said that he had altitude sickness.
Which like on the oxygen.
He was throwing up and everything. I'm trying to fathom how someone that. Could get altitude sickness that regularly jumps out of airplanes.
Break boards and like eats pudding with Constantine. Got lots of stuff going on.
Like that part just kind of baffles me a little bit, but
the thing is, I know he did not have altitude sickness here in New Orleans because number one, we're below sea level, and number two, he drove here from Texas where he lives, so he did not get any kind of plane sickness because he wasn't.
Kevin tracked him. It was creepy.
It was creepy. Well, no, because I remember him posting pictures from his car, like, driving to New Orleans, guys! Yeah! I'm like, oh, fuck. But, like, you go through the line, and he barely really looks up at you, unless you really have to, like, catch his attention with, like...
A clown makeup.
Like, clown makeup. Like, show a picture of yourself sucking the Green Ranger's dick. Like, you really have to, like turn him on in some way to get his attention. Like, he just kind of like, oh, man, that's cool. Yeah. Oh, you know, yeah, thanks for coming out. And like, just pushes you through the line and, you know, gets up on the table like, all right, guys. So I'll take a picture for, you know, it's going to be up on my Twitter and Instagram. And, you know, we're all making a fighting stance. I was like, yeah. Like, all right. You know, meanwhile, oh, like you have like the people from The Walking Dead that have been coming the past few years. And I met some of them in line with my sister and they have lines like three times what JDF has at least, and they'll stop and they're, you know, they take their time with everybody and, you know, they're all friendly and talking and having a grand old time, you know, and here's JDF like fucking rushing everybody through like he's somebody overly important. Like fucking Norman Reedus seriously has a line that's like you wait in for like an hour. And not just because there's a lot of people, because he literally is fucking talking to everybody there and shit. Like, Manu Bennett from Arrow, like, I met him. He was the same thing. Like, there's all these people that are, like, the nicest fucking people talking to all the fans and shit. And JDF's like, oh, I'm all about the fans, but I'm going to rush you through in, like, 10 seconds or less. Yeah, give me everybody.
It's kind of like,
my boobs. Like
what
right,
happened.
I mean, I guess I'll do that.
Morphicon with David Yost. Like, the line took so long, but he was, like,
yeah.
Having one-on-one conversations with everyone. Like, he would say,
yeah.
Ask your name, and then...
And he at least made sure to, like, look you in the eye and shake your hands.
Yeah.
David Yost.
But yeah, David Yost, you know, it was a pretty fast line. It was a pretty fast line, but he still was, like, really nice about it and made sure to give you at least a, you know, a second of his time. And,
yeah.
Like I mentioned on Twitter, the Samurai cast, their line moved pretty quick, and it was a long line. They were, like, all super nice, and I had a conversation with each of them about, you know, I had a conversation with Alex about Avatar, and Brittany about how it was her first conversation, and Mike about how he flips. I don't know, he was just like, I feel like to flip, man, and he started flipping. Rick Medina and I had forbidden time together. You don't get forbidden time with JDF. Bottom line is that JDF...
David Yost is kind of cool.
We moved past David Yost, I think. We sped through the Samurai cast.
Fuck.
But,
the Samurai cast was cool, too.
But, like, out of all the PR actors... Well, he refused to meet me. Not like he was like, I won't meet him. We must beat him at all costs. But, like, he was, like, signing extra posters when I was at the line. And then when I went up to their individual ones, he wasn't there. So maybe I'll catch him this time. I don't know. We'll find out. But
go.
Catch Ninji. I caught a Ninji. I must catch him at all costs. I couldn't resist.
I must catch Ninji. Kick him in the vagina.
But out of all the, you know, the PR cast members I've met, Jason David Frank was like the least personable. I mean, I think I told that story a long time ago about how I got in at the very end of the line and got a rain check to be first next time, even though I had been waiting for like 3 seconds. But when I met him, like, he talked to me for a second and I got my thing signed and I just said, you know, it was nice
to
meet him. But he was very distracted. He was looking down a lot. He was talking to his manager a bunch and he was just not what you expect. That was quite a while ago. It was like, what, 4 years now? 6 years? I don't know time. I don't know how time is. We just went through we've all aged. My hair's gray now. I moved so fast. But everyone else I've met, I mean, some of the best ones we had last time was like Mike Ginn and some of the Samurai cast, but
Mike
everyone's at least been a lot more friendly than him.
Jason Font, he was cool.
Yeah.
Dan Southworth humped my leg, for God's sake.
Exactly.
And so did Brian.
And me.
That's the real winner there.
Like, seriously, we met the entire Wild Force cast just about, and they were fun. Even Rick Medina was one of the coolest guys, because he was, when he had his own line, like, outside of being, like, in the samurai grouping with his large-breasted woman.
Oh, yeah, she had big tits.
I know. How do you forget that? Like, he was, you know, friendly and nice and everything to everybody, so... You know, I don't know what, like, the deal with JDF. And the funny thing to me is that you get all these people that go on JDF's Instagram and his Facebook page, and they talk about how it's so great that he's, like, so into the fans and he's such a great person.
Great.
Like, it's so great that, oh, man, you were such an inspiration as a kid. You were a Green Ranger. You were a Tommy. And then
you're
now, like, and then now, like, you know, you're a good person
Tom's
in real life, and you're so friendly, and you're talking to all the fans, and I'm like, who the fuck are they talking about? Like, which person are we referring to? Like, because I don't think they mean JDF.
I think it's kind of funny that, like, the Samurai cast, you know, not as people, but on the show, they weren't very well liked, and Rick Medina had this huge reputation for being a dick, and meanwhile, everyone kind of loves Tommy and JDF, but then when you get to the reality... JDF's kind of a douche in person. Samurai cast was really nice, despite what you might think of their characters. And Rick Medina was really nice. He was super chill.
What's really funny is that, like, you always hear, like, that story that, you know, that goes around of, like, Austin and JDF and, like, why they don't get along. And it kind of makes Austin St. John sound like a dick. And then when you meet JDF in person, you're like... Maybe there's more to the story than...
Yeah, because he's the only one that's been telling the story.
Yeah, like, maybe there's more to this story than meets the eye. Maybe JDF's the asshole here.
I met him The one time I met JDF was, I think, in 2008. Whatever year he was at Anime Central. And it was... I don't think it was his first con experience or anything, but it was really early on in everything. And he was completely different than he is now. Like, I mean, he was telling the same stupid-ass stories at the convention panels about how he put flies in David Yost's sandwich and shit.
Same stories.
But, I mean, well, like, when we went through the line, he took time out to talk to everyone. And, like, I had a couple different things signed, and I got him to shoot, like, a 30-second video that I sent to my friend and stuff. Uh-huh. And he was really cool then. And I think the convention atmosphere kind of went to his head a little bit.
Yeah.
And it just kind of... I want to say more or less that the fans turned him into what he is now.
It's a monster.
Because when you have so many people, like, basically just digitally sucking your dick every day, like, that kind of shit gets to your head. And
it's nice having your dick sucked.
You end up developing this giant-ass ego. And I completely understand it. I mean, I don't like it, and I
even his shadow. Awesome. Look at his shadow.
But I mean, it is what it is. He needs to realize that he's not the shit.
We love you, Seacrest Hulk. Sorry.
We'll get there eventually. Maybe, probably not. He'll just always be an asshole. But
it
I mean, I get that he's usually like always an asshole. Like, even when I met him, he was an asshole.
Yeah.
But he was a lot more focused and a little bit more fan-centric in terms of appreciating who was there. Because, I mean, it was a big turnout at Anime Central that year, but it wasn't as big as, like, the groups that I keep seeing at... on all of his, like, Instagram posts, where it's, like, just, like, this entire hall is, like, flooded with people.
He's getting the casuals.
So, basically, because a lot of the people that were at Anime Central that year were all, like, from Ranger Board and stuff. It wasn't a whole lot of the quote-unquote casuals. And now I think you're getting those people that are, like, just attending these things to, like, oh my god, my Power Ranger childhood and shit.
No. They're over there, like, slurping on JDF's dick.
Regardless, he's an awful human being.
He's really been...
That's a way to sum it up.
He's been sticking his foot in his mouth lately, and it's been pretty funny to watch. It seems like every week there's a new JDF scandal. It's
pretty
funny.
Every week, every other day. Like, it's... Like, it's like, what the fuck is he gonna do today?
And it's just kind of funny how, you know, there's been sort of passive-aggressive, like, you know, like, sub-tweets or sub-Facebook messages or whatever towards stuff that Austin St. John will say about, like, wanting to have more money. But, like, it's just funny how whenever JDF does something stupid, like, around that time, Austin St. John will come out with some sort of new message or something that makes him seem even nicer. It was a really good time for him to come out. That sounded like
I was thinking.
That was David Yost.
I think that about covers the news.
Yep. And
random shenanigans.
Shenaniganery.
Branded.
The news is like he said, like branded, like so casually. He was in his he's a okay whatevs mode. That's
casual.
Serious. That's the toodles mode. That's the okay whatevs mode. You don't want to get there, man.
Don't.
I heard Brian likes the dick.
It's a bad side of the Shuki.
Speaking of okay whatevs.
Sorry, I forgot that was a thing I do. Superhero time. Tokyuja. Gaim. Kicking ass in a forest. With a creeper. I'm kind of terrified of him. Just saying.
Okay.
So we're on, what is it, 7? 8?
9.
Oh, fuck.
Did you just watch 7? Please tell me you did. It would be hilarious.
No, I watched the week's episode. I just don't know what number it was. That's all. I don't remember at this point. I just know I enjoy the show.
It makes it sound like you can't count to 9.
I just don't pay attention to what number. It's like when Brian starts the show every week and goes, book RR, Ranger Rider Ranger Rebels, season 4, episode, and then says like 8 different numbers every time he tries. And it's like, what the fuck number is this?
My favorite Tokyuger episode was still episode Durf. That was where they really laid everything out for the whole season.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, the master plan has been revealed.
The master balls have been revealed in my balls.
But anyway, this episode was okay. I think Diesel O looks a little bit better in person than the toy. He still looks like a bootleg that's been flattened. I definitely like the combined mode with Tokyo better. You know,
yeah, I think your mom was like a motherfucker that's been flattened.
Well,
I forgot the word I was going to use.
He just looks so boring. But the rest of the episode was about abusing women's food. I don't remember. They were like stomping on pictures or something.
Well,
I barely remember it, and I watched it this morning.
The marionette dude was taking over dudes, and they'd like...
Like, fuck your sushi!
They'd get chicks to fall in love with them, and then, like, basically they give them something, you know, here's a present, and then they'd have them smash it all up and be like, oh, I don't want to fucking talk to you, you whore. Get the fuck away from me, you disgusting fuck.
I don't remember that part.
That's how I understand it, anyway.
The, something neat to point out is the guy that, Mio was interacting with this episode, when they looked at his ID, it said SCRTC, which is a reference to him being Geki Chopper.
That was Geki Chopper.
Yeah, SCRTC.
Oh, God damn it. How did I not recognize him?
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that because he didn't have his long hair and beard or his fried pork things.
It took me a while because I saw someone comment saying, oh man, I wonder if Geki Chopper is going to be orange, which I thought was really dumb. But I'm like, Geki Chopper? And I kept looking at him like, is that fucking Geki Chopper? I can't tell. He's so clean shaven and well dressed.
I'm going to have to go back and look at it because I was like half watching an episode of Parks and Rec during this, so I was only half paying attention. So I didn't even notice that. That's happened to me several times, but him in particular, he has sort of a drastic look change.
He's got team up here now.
I didn't even notice that. That's a pretty cool little thing that they did with the Scratch logo, or the acronym rather. That's cool.
Hold on, I'm gonna look it up right fucking now because I'm bored. You know that guy
Hunter's
did
a Wiccan.
Hunter is a fucking Wiccan. You know that did look familiar to me. Like that dude, I was like, oh, man.
Aside from that, I found the episode to be, you know, kind of amusing. More so just the idea of Mio having such an aversion to anything romance related that when she calls up a guy, she's actually challenging him to a duel. So she's so against the idea of dating someone that she's willing to beat the crap out of them.
I like how her phone call was basically an ultimatum ransomware.
Yeah, I love the line. They're like, are you sure she was asking him on a date? That sounded more like extortion.
Yeah, like,
I have your wallet. Meet me in the park where the event was held.
So yeah, this actually kind of endeared Mio to me a bit.
Yeah. Like, it was just really fun. I don't know, I'm enjoying Tokyuger more than I thought I would. This is kind of funny, but Wagon's still annoying. I know that much. She is an annoying Wagon. Fuck.
I love how different the Diesel Russia set is. Different shade.
They've got different walls.
Well, I just think it's fun that they're riding on a different train. That was fun.
Grandpa train.
It's thrilling. I was like, oh man, they're switching trains.
Oh man, this they moved the seats around and
I couldn't handle it.
It's a train version of Grandpa Tyranno.
I imagine Aerosol would just get Tokyuger stuff and try to film a sequel to Gabutira and Friends with him, but it would just be really boring.
Like it would be Gabutira Train and Friends, so it would just be the Carriage Russia. But Tokyuger shaping up to be one of these shows where it's not like completely wowing me, but at the same time it's always kind of fun to watch, but it's not something that I look forward to every week.
Yeah, that's pretty much
like I watch it. I'm like, oh, that was fun. And I don't really have a whole lot of negative, but not every week I'm sitting here going, oh, I can't wait for Tokyo to come out. Like, one week I forgot I never even watched it. Thursday rolled around. It was one of the weeks where it was out actually early. No, it wasn't. It was out late, and I realized it was never subbed. It was, like two weeks ago, I think.
Oh, yeah, I watched that. Wait, it never came out.
And I'm just sitting there going, oh, fuck, I never watched Tokyo. And then it dawned on me. I'm like, it never even came out yet. It's like Wednesday night or something.
I really wanted to give me something, though, that makes me look forward to it in some way. You know, at least something, some sort of plot element or some reason that I'm kind of intrigued. Because right now, like you said, it's not awful when you watch it. It's usually entertaining, but it's just I'm not really actively looking forward to it like Gaim. And it's just kind of different because the past 2 years, I've usually looked forward to Sentai episodes. Well, I guess 3 years. I've looked forward to watching Sentai every week, and now it's kind of like, oh, that's out. Man, I guess.
Yeah.
It is very much like you've been describing it for the past few weeks. It's that thing you watch before you watch Gaim.
Yeah. This week I was like, to hell with this. I want to find out why everyone's just making one-word tweets say Michi. How did he ruin Punchy's wedding? Let's find out. So I was just so curious, and I like really want. It's like it's painful the past 2 weeks because of how long they're taking to release it. Because I'm like, I just really want to watch Tokyo first so that I end on Gaim, but they're taking so long. They're as bored as we are. They're like, let's get to Gaim first because they want to find out what happens.
Like Tokyo, I watched it with my eyeballs,
basically.
I'm
having fun with the toys, though, at least.
Oh, the toys are fantastical.
Well.
I was just about to segue, and then you're like, I like the toys.
I'm sorry, I kicked your segue over.
Brian's like, no, it's toy time. My show got canceled, so I had to move over.
You don't
over
get a
here.
Segue. You don't like Paul Blart.
We respect everyone's opinions. Well, I don't like you. All over Paul Blart. Oh, that's so good.
Was fun.
Anyway.
Fuck you, motherfucker.
That fit
and your segue.
I love the idea that this podcast can end just because of a disagreement over Paul Blart.
I imagine that's how it will end. Like, it'll end over a huge, like, debate over what was better, Paul Blart or Observe and Report. And it'll just be a blow. I've never seen Observe and Report, so.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like Paul Blart, but with Seth Rogen.
I haven't seen it.
Neither have I. I didn't interest me. For whatever reason, Paul Blart did. Now we're talking about Paul Blart. Let's go.
How could it not interest you with Seth Rogen? You love him. Your boy's probably in it because they suck each other's dicks or something.
Why did James Franco? Anyway, speaking of James Franco, Gaim.
Uh-oh.
Damn it. Trying to get into Gaim and James Franco is distracting us.
Gaim Franco.
James Franco distracts you all the time.
Anyway, so Gaim was really good this week. As I just mentioned, there was a lot of people reacting to, like, what Michi did in the episode, and there was at least 5 over the course of the week in my timeline tweets that were either just the word Michi or maybe Michi in one other word. Like, they were really vague, which I appreciate, no spoilers, but damn, it made me curious. It was, like, great marketing from fans. And so throughout the whole episode, I told this to you guys, I was waiting for the moment. Like, when he was freaking out on Kota, I thought he was going to, like, stab him or something. And then when he got slapped by Maya, I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to finally lose it. And he's going to reveal everything or something. And then later when he was, like, making his creepy face at Ryoma, I was like, he's going to lose it. Something's going to happen. And when they're first in the forest. And then finally at the end, he shot Kota. but I just kept waiting for it. It was literally, like, the last scene. And I thought it was funny, especially, like, given the build-up for it for me. And then, like, how many times he looked like he was going to lose it. It was pretty funny, actually.
I like the look on his face throughout the most of this episode. Just because after Mai slaps him, he just looks so dead inside.
Yeah.
Like, he just looks like he's just finally, like, it's finally snapped.
Yeah.
Just that. And what... It didn't occur to me till I watched this episode a second time around that from the moment he got slapped by Mai,
you got slapped
when they were in the forest, which is like just hours. In a matter of hours, he had already planned out how where and when he was going to kill Coda. He had already been that dedicated to it within a matter of hours.
Oh.
Like, that's
itchy.
Fucked up.
I know, he's so fucked up. The guy's such a good actor, though. Like, I love that scene in the forest where he's walking, like, I'm gonna kill this motherfucker, I'm gonna kill him. And then, like, Coda's like, I'm sorry. And he turns around and smiles, it's fine. And he looks all friendly. I'm like, Jesus, this guy can switch it fast. It's always the quiet ones.
Yeah, it's always the ones that are great for you.
I don't think I'm very quiet.
Yeah, I love that when he's about to shoot Coda. You know, he's waiting for his moment, and there's no hesitation. None.
He was just like, I can finally do
moment,
it.
And then he fires. He doesn't think about it. He doesn't dwell on it. He doesn't. There's no second guessing there. He's that committed to killing someone who was his best friend.
And, like, before he did it, like, his inner monologue wasn't, like, conflicted. He was like, finally, once he's out of the way, all this shit can stop, or something along those lines.
Once, like, out of the way, Maya will suck my dick. Like, whoa.
Like, he seemed so excited about it. Not that part. But I mean, like, not excited, but he seemed like he was going to be very relieved and, like, it was going to be such a good thing for him.
Like, and, we finally see that line from, you know, weeks and weeks ago where he's dancing and, you know, he's thinking in his head, he's like, if someone takes the happiness away from my friends, I'll just kill them, kind of thing.
Yeah.
We finally see that come to fruition. Like, this is him actually acting on that. And of course, you know, it's Coda who gets the brunt of the, you know,
yeah,
his vengeance, I guess. But I love Michi so much. I really do like his character a lot. Obviously, he's the character you're supposed to hate, but
it's like a character you love to hate.
but what I love most is that he does have that very stereotypical hero motivation, like that idea of, I want to protect people's happiness, I want to protect people's smiles, kind of thing. You know, we saw that with Kuga, we saw that with Agito. We've seen that with past writers. And then
dentists.
You get to Michi, though, and with Michi, it goes beyond just this motivation, just this thing that drives a hero, and it goes into obsession.
Yeah.
And he starts to become, like, that's all he thinks about, is protecting these people's happiness and what he can do. And it gets to the point where he's just willing to do pretty much whatever.
It's like, if I stop smiling, like, even, I will fuck someone's day up. Like, okay.
Like, he's willing to kill Coda. Even Takatora, who from the beginning of the series has been billed as the quote-unquote Oja of the series, has more reservations about culling the human race than Michi does. Like, Michi has no reservations whatsoever.
It's like, Michi has that, like, stereotypical toku, protect people's smiles, but that trait is instilled into a psychopath.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's so, like you said, in a matter of hours, it's just amazing how much planning he has. So, in one way, it was very much in character that he didn't lose it. Like, I thought he was going to lose it. And maybe transform or attack or something. And something was going to come out. Because, like, I'm just waiting for that moment when it finally comes out that Michi's just a little shit. Because from Coach's perspective, it's so interesting, too. And I guess for everyone else's. I mean, Coach has mentioned that he's noticed that Michi seems annoyed. But from Coach's perspective and the other friends, Michi's still just kind of this friendly little guy. Yeah. Kind of like how I thought he was going to be before the series happened. Is the generic second sidekick dude. But he's like the damn architect of everything. Not of the Cones game.
Yeah, and like you said, from their perspective, he's still this friendly little guy, is what you said. Which is why I like his little outburst so much. Because when you just kind of look at it without thinking about everyone else's perspective, it's like, okay, well, he just kind of finally had his little outburst. But then you actually, like, look at everyone's expressions,
yeah,
and you realize, like, this is not something they are used to seeing.
Yeah.
This is, like, shocking for them, because everyone's mouths are open, they're just staring, they can't even believe that Michi would even do this.
yeah,
kind of thing. I love that. And oh my god, I love Michi so much, but and it's not even just that he's a psychopath, but he's a smart psychopath. Because, like we've said, he planned this all out in a matter of hours. And he's clearly unhinged. That's such a like, deadly combination kind of thing.
He even like, had... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, like, in other series, we could have had, like, one or the other. Okay, well, this is the smart person, or this is the guy who has just finally snapped. But, you know, but he doesn't really know what to do. Michi is capable. He has both. He's got pretty much everyone in his pocket. He has the intelligence to do and plan pretty much whatever he feels like. And he's unhinged enough to actually carry through with it.
Yeah, and...
he's scarier than me.
What was interesting about this... it's like Kevin with less penises. But what's interesting about his plan to kill Coda was that it had, like, he had, like, a backup plan. Like, he thought that there was a chance Marika could have killed him, but then when it didn't work out, he's like, fuck it, I'll just shoot him myself. I had the backup all instilled. And I think it's funny, like, the past few episodes, people keep thinking that they can beat Coda, and Kota's like, nope, I got to lay down some fat beats on you. I just think it's kind of funny how much he's grown with that, but it's just crazy. As far as other things, Baron Lemon Arms made his debut this week.
That was the happening.
I like the suit, but someone asked me about it on Twitter, and I actually thought about it. I actually think it would have been neat if he had just taken over as Duke, only because I like that suit. We don't get to see it. But, you know, when he left the dance team, he kind of made this big deal about how that he didn't care about it anymore. That wasn't his interest. So I thought it would be kind of a nice sort of symbolic thing if he became Duke and, like, lost the Baron name and just became an energy rider. I mean, I don't have a problem with the suit, and I get that there's probably some other reason they're going to have Duke come in later. But I thought that would have been kind of a nice transition from his goals. Because Gaim keeping the name makes sense because that's the name of the show, and he's kind of with the spirit of his friends. But I thought with Baron it would have been a nice shift. You don't see them changing rider mantles very often.
I get what you mean. I mean, personally, I like what they've done with it, but I can see where you're coming from, like the sort of shedding of the name Baron because he's moving on kind of thing.
Yeah, and you know, even if they didn't do that, since they made a new suit, it would have been cool to maybe make a banana energy or something. It seems like Lemon's always used to start things. It's really popular.
I do find it amusing that it has a jingle, too.
Yeah. I wonder why they chose Lemon for Baron.
Yellow.
You're yellow. There are no yellow foods.
No,
except
I'm
for
blue.
Peppers, bananas, lemons. But still. Yeah, it still looks cool. It's just kind of interesting. I'm assuming we won't really see his other forms so much anymore, kind of like Zangetsu, because I can't imagine why you would go back.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unless
we'll
it gets destroyed or stolen.
True, that's true. But I mean, in terms of right now, I mean, why would you go champion when you can go mega? Digimon rules.
I like that we got to see Strawberry Arms again. We haven't seen. He hasn't used that Ichigo Lock Seed in like forever.
He hasn't used Pine either, which is my favorite. But yeah, I forgot about that. There's so many other things happen, you forget about little frivolous things like that. It's kind of funny how before the episode, everyone's making a big deal about Baron's new arms debut, and then Michi's kind of overshadowed all of it.
Yeah, because he's fucking insane.
But Baron did sort of best that, or at least start to best that Overlord, and he got called back because they didn't want to anger some sort of boss guy. David Wallace. Let's call him David Wallace. The David Wallace of Heilheim.
Something else I wanted to bring up was that
penis, my dear.
We do have an official like language, I guess, for the
Infest.
And
like the goddamn Grongi over here.
The subgroup for Gaim, whose name I'm blanking on for some reason.
Acer?
Yeah.
Acer, I don't know how you say that.
They actually made up their own little, like, encrypted language to use for their subs, and it's a pretty basic one, where it's essentially just the alphabet in reverse kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But someone did actually decode it, what they were doing.
They got a little ring and everything.
I used their little alphabet that they put up in the comments of Acer, and I actually went through and what's the word, translated the lines, which most of the invest lines used were like basic fight dialogue stuff, yeah. Like put up a fight this time, and you know, yeah. calling Baron an ape and stuff like that. But the last few lines are the important ones, because the green invest shows up, and he comes in and he says, "Fall back, Demushu," which is the first time we get
names.
Names. "Lest we risk angering Lord Roshuo."
David Wallace.
And then to which he replies, "You too, Redue." So there we have
Brute.
Names. Oh. So Demushu and Redue are the green and red ones.
Mushu like in Mulan?
And apparently there is a Lord Roshuo. So that's fun.
There's a hierarchy. So it'll be interesting to see what goes on with those guys.
I want
to
anger Mushu.
pork. let's see what else. You know, one small thing is that, not that.
Vagina.
Kota, in this episode, in the scene where he's trying to stop Baron and the Overlord from fighting, it kind of reminded me a lot of Shinji with the, "We need to just talk." Because that's what Shinji did for, like, the whole show, was essentially, "Why can't we all just get along?" So I thought that was kind of interesting, because I guess in a lot of ways...
"Oh, just get along, little doggy."
He does remind me of Shinji, but he's a little more active and a little more willing to do things.
Yeah, but
that sounds dirty.
It just kind of reminded me of him in that moment. Next week should be interesting, because it looked to me like... Well, it looks based like on the preview that Kota might lose his memory for the episode, and Takatora will convince him that he's working for Yggdrasil. That's what I got from the preview.
I feel like I saw Michi in the shower.
That's how, and then goddamn, what was it? Jiro comes in. I'm like, dude, stop crowding people's baths. But yeah, because that's what I was so confused. I had to go back and watch it twice because he's like, "We've only just met," and I couldn't see who he was talking to. And then I saw them
only just begun.
And then they had that scene of them fighting together. And so I'm kind of assuming it'll be an amnesia storyline. And the other thing I saw in the preview, it looks like Baron's going to be defending Kota, because it looked like Michi is about to finish the job and headshot him, and it looks like Baron's going to defend him. So that should be interesting. Because I think
Shooter McGavin comes in.
I think that...
oh, God.
That Baron...
to make the show shit fast.
Has some level of respect for Kota, so...
Well, yeah, I had a rumor still going around.
That needs to stop right fucking now, swear to God.
But yeah,
why?
I don't know.
Fuck you, Arisol.
I think it's because the last Toku movie we had, like, quote unquote reboot that we had, they did that with one of the shows, which was really lame. I don't know why he would have to come in for Gaim, of all things.
Yeah.
But that last reboot featured Kenji Oba, so...
Can't even get wet.
neither can your mother.
Okay.
I was going to say, what were you going to say before people kept interrupting you?
No, I was just going to speak more towards the whole Baron defending Kota thing. Because it does seem in his character. I mean, it does seem like he would be the kind of guy who was like hated cheap shots.
Yeah,
God, I'm blanking on words so much, but yeah, I can see him getting kind of pissed about you know, having a fight interrupted and
not fighting with honor of some sort. And it seems like he, like I said, he has grown some level of respect for Coda in a manner, and Michi being a little shit, he probably doesn't like that. But yeah, it's just so good. So good.
You mentioned this earlier, but again, just huge props to Michi's actor.
Yeah. Because
that takes skill to pull off what he does, and he does it so well. So I have to give credit where credit's due. He does an amazing job.
His performance is moving people to tears. You can hear it. It's just like, can't even believe it. Believe it!
Just believe it!
Wonderful, Brian.
Oh, oh wow.
Just believe in my cock.
So, speaking of cocks, I guess it's time for
my Garo. Internet.
Garo's Corner.
That's all you said, Garo's Corner.
That too.
So, what did you think, Brian?
It was an episode I watched with my eyeballs. That's about the extent of my direct thoughts. If you'd be so kind as to possibly start a conversation, I might have more thoughts. But initially,
you have indirect thoughts.
Initially, it was a thing. It did nothing for me, really.
For most of it, I found it to be incredibly boring.
Yeah, that was my issue,
because
too.
Because it was... A lot of it was just going from the point of view of the horror. Which is fine if the horror was interesting.
Naked.
But she's just...
She wasn't even naked.
What happened to the tip budget?
She's just this sort of stereotypical artist character who's really obsessed with their... You know, there are, and she has this obsession with death, and, you know...
She was nuts before the horror even got to her.
Yeah. And, you know, she starts killing people because she wants to learn more about death, and she wants to use it in her art and stuff like that.
Oh, fuck art.
Very, very heavy-handed. And we really didn't get to see that much of Raiga or... Unfortunately, I can't think of her name. The instrument, the magical instrument.
Mayuri.
Mayuri, yeah. But when we did get to see Raiga, he was at the Watchdog. He finally picked up his game, and
what
he
game?
Reviewed it. Nothing? Okay.
I don't get the joke.
Watch Dogs is a video game. But they basically doing the whole there's a horror here, go kill it kind of thing. Which this horror had actually captured Mayuri at this point. And the watchdog tells him
I just got it.
That he shouldn't
God damn it.
That he shouldn't bother rescuing the magical instrument because the horror is his main priority. Which is the dumbest fucking thing I have ever heard.
If something word. Happens to her, they can't stop the thing.
Exactly. Like that, they specifically gave him her in order to take down these horrors, because she is the only one who can purify their remains or whatever. So, putting her in harm's way and not rescuing her is detrimental to his overall goal. And they are telling him to not save her.
Where am I?
This is
bad. Now that you point that out like that, that is really fucking stupid.
And... everything just kind of came to a head with that. Like, last week we had this sort of little cliche moment about where he was like, no, she's not an instrument, she's a person kind of thing. Which, you know, I didn't have a problem with. You know, whatever. It's kind of, it's been done, but I don't have a problem with it. It was kind of a throwaway line. But then in this episode, the whole reason for that scene is to kind of reinforce the fact that he thinks she's a human. He views her as human instead of an instrument. But they are using the cliche improperly. They're actually harming their overall goal by using this.
It's just a tool, whatever. But if we let her go, then we can. She's just a tool, whatever.
It was just so absurdly stupid. when I got to that scene, I'm just like, wait, what? No. That doesn't make sense. You should be telling him the opposite. If she was just like a normal person and, you know, wasn't this big important instrument that they needed, I could see them saying that and not having a problem with it.
Yeah, because yeah, it's cliche, the watchdogs have proven to be assholes before.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, it's a cliche thing to say, but at least then you'd be using it right. You'd be like, it would make sense. But now it's like, you can't tell him not to save her. She's the whole reason this season is even happening right now. So yeah, I just got upset with that, and it didn't help that it a very weak horror this week. Just
it really was.
The whole plot was very meh. It was kind of artsy for the sake of being artsy kind of thing, and I really wasn't into it.
Yeah, like it wasn't even really a good kind of artsy. It was just really, it was really boring.
I'm sorry, I kind of ranted a bunch.
Well, the thing is, like, there wasn't even really a hugely good action scene either. It was just kind of an episode, and I was honestly, I was more entertained watching Wheel of Fortune that my mom had on in the background than
I do
the
enjoy
actual
Wheel of
episode
Fortune.
Itself.
I'm really good at the puzzles too.
You're probably better than I am.
I'm better at you a lot of things.
Yeah, that was my point.
Like
everybody loves Palenko.
Palenko is fun.
Oh my god.
Well, I think that probably puts a cap on our Carl discussion.
Thank you for giving Brian an opinion.
Because now it's time for ramble time.
Yay!
Yeah.
So, what was Pokemon about this week?
There was an Esper, and it kind of it creeped me out because Esper is a really creepy ass son of a bitch.
Yeah, it was being a creeper.
And then it like stopped being creepy, and it was seriously the most adorable thing in the world. And I really hated it because I have this mental image of Esper that's just like total creepoid.
And it can change its disposition just like Michi.
Oh my god. Esper is the Michi of Pokemon. Like, no, really. It turned really adorable and was making cute purry noises like my cat does. And I liked it, and it made me upset because I don't like to like Esper. But
So you mean so the cat like Pokemon was being cat like and it was adorable? Gotcha. Yes.
It was doing its job. I mean, outside of that, the episode was kind of subpar, but I just wanted to make comment about how I had, like, this opinion change about Esper.
This revelation.
it was kind of sad. I was upset. I'm like, this is not a happy episode.
Yeah, this is not supposed to be a happy Saturday morning cartoon. This is about death, and it's not fun.
Sorry, she died, and Esper just like looks like it's gonna die. It's like, except but, that would be a weird noise for a cat to make. I'm sorry, but
this is about death, and I feel like something Dawson would enjoy.
Sure. Speaking of death, Ben 10 was about the Ben 10 movie actor. Or I'm not quite sure how it worked because they made it seem like it was a movie or TV show, but it was as if people were just watching it as it was happening in person. It was like a roaming TV show. I don't know, but
they were filming live, and so there was a crowd.
And we brought back the guy whose Ben was a Limax, which we haven't seen, I don't really think, since the first series. And there's supposedly some sort of Limax 4 that was mentioned in the first series. But
What's a Limax?
It's that creature that can transform into different things. That's what the actor was, because that's why he could take all those forms.
Oh, I remember the phrase sludge puppy, but I didn't know what the fuck you said.
That's what the race is called.
Well, you've been making it up for all
at
I know.
At least I didn't call a Tetraman a Termadad again. And then Brian laughs at me.
Just like you stay with me in Star Wars, you could be making it up for all I know, and I wouldn't know the difference.
You could be. But it was a pretty fun episode. It was like a collector guy that was essentially based on Galactus. He tried to collect the whole planet, and Ben stopped him by trading him one of his t-shirts. True story. I could be making. It sounds like I'm making this up, but I'm not. And I think, who was that? Who was the monkey supposed to be? Simeon? Was he from Alien Force or whatever?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, he was from Alien Force.
But they changed his look so drastically. Like, I know Spider Monkey's got a new look, but he has, like, a full-on, like, groomed hairdo and shit. And it's been, like, forever since we've seen him. We're like, oh, hey, we know you. I'm like, do we, though? Do we?
No.
Well, apparently this is the last episode of Story Arc 5, according to Wikipedia here.
Well, it was a wonderful finale for Galactic Monsters.
It was supposed to be the stupid Ben 10 timeline crossover thing, but it, you know, they pushed it. So instead, like, the final two episodes were the stupid girl episode and Ben's actor episode. When I first saw a couple screenshots from this, I thought that this guy was actually just one of the different timeline Bens, but he's just an actor. And he goes, like, Unicorn Mon. I don't know why he's Mon. And Slap Fists, or whatever his name is, Power of Slapping. That could make for some great How I Met Your Mother jokes. But yeah, it was a fun episode. It was just kind of a strange way to end the arc, since they shuffled it around and there was no real, like, continuity issues. They should have, like, put these episodes before the Ghost Reek Vampire arc and then just had that end out the season.
Yeah,
that would have been nice.
Instead of season finale, Ben meets an actor and then, like, does some stuff and trades his shirt and it's over. Pretty climactic stuff.
The collector guy reminded me of how I imagined Dawson would be.
Floating around in a chair?
No, like, I'm like, oh my god, I need the Ben 10 t-shirt. Like, I need your actual outfit.
Yeah, because it could be good for reviews.
Exactly.
I'm scrounging for Ben 10 stuff. Look, an old LCD game. That's my life.
Yeah, that's how I imagined Dawson would be. Like, oh my god, Ben 10 things.
To be fair, we all
scrounge them up.
So Turtles is back next week, which will be fun. Fine, Ryan.
Well, no, I just want to say there was a lot of those kind of in-joke references that Ben 10 always does. Like when Rook said he didn't want to be the new Gwevin.
Oh!
There was a couple, particularly toward the end of the episode, that you always mention.
Yeah, I can't remember because it's been a week since I've seen it.
When he went to the Mr. Smoothie.
Oh, yeah, the old sign.
I like the old sign better. This world needs to be dark and grittier. And it was funny because you keep making comment about how dark Alien Force was.
Yeah.
It was just always dark.
Like, literally dark. But you know what confuses me? Is the Mr. Smoothie
sign.
Books. It changes in the present, but like whenever they did flashbacks, it's the old sign. But if he rebuilt the whole world as Alien X, wouldn't it just change the logo for all time? Or did he just change it, like, after a certain date?
That's
a valid question. I don't know.
The world may never know.
I don't know how time works.
And I thought he didn't remember doing that. Because, like, he rebuilt the world as Alien X, and then they were just sitting there drinking smoothies, and he's like, oh, it's a boring day. Fine. Whatever. No, I'm upset.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Brian worked me into a tizzy. I'm just kidding. I was like, hey, there were some fun comments this week. You thought those were fun?
I don't know, but I know that he got to be Kickin' Hawk again. That was a thing.
And he did kick.
He did
kick. And he hawked his heart out. It makes it sound like he threw up a lot.
I want to hawk your heart out.
That would be more like, wait, is there a throw-up alien? Upchuck. There we go. Anyway, now it comes full circle. I don't know how Upchuck was full circle. But speaking of Upchuck, Arc 5. Did you watch both episodes, Aerosol?
I did watch both episodes.
I meant to text you that, and I'm like, the phone's so far away.
Yeah. Well,
but you made a surprise.
I honestly didn't think you would check. That's why I texted you.
Well, because I checked just yesterday on the site I watch, which is the same site you sent me to for Danball episodes, and it just two was up. And when I went there today, it was three. And I think it was a different subs because the subs were bigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was still fine. So they were an interesting couple of episodes. He beat that guy really quickly.
First guy. Yeah, he did. We sort of find out a little more about pendulum summoning in that
no one else can
do it.
Yeah.
And no one knows about it.
No one believes him.
Which I'm not really sure how I feel about that. Because with every other kind of new introduction to, you know, different game mechanics, it's just, you know, that becomes the norm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But with this, it's like, oh, he can do this special kind of summoning and only he can do it. Well, isn't that cheating? like, he's essentially breaking the game by doing this because only he can do it.
No, it's not cheating because he's the main character.
So it just seemed, I don't know, it seemed odd. I mean, lots of things in Yu-Gi-Oh! Can be odd or have been odd. But
like
this one in particular
effects?
just kind of bothered me just because it, I don't know, it had so much to do with how the actual game is played. You know, like if there's a new game mechanic, then more people should know about it.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't just magically have it.
That's kind of how it goes.
I don't know. Like, it bugged me.
I hope that they introduce it to more characters as it goes along, because that's usually the new game mechanic is meant to make the duels a little more interesting, although they do have the action part of it now. But yeah. it should be introduced. I think it's stolen from them, though.
In previous seasons or series, like when they introduce synchro summoning, everyone can do synchro summoning. Like, it's a widespread thing. People know about it because it's a new thing introduced into the game. Same goes for, you know, Xyz summoning and so on and so forth. But I don't know, this one just didn't seem right to me.
You know, it's funny how in all the other series, like, when that mechanic is introduced, everybody plays it. Like, there's not a single deck that doesn't make use of it.
Yeah.
Which I think is funny.
Which, to Arc 5's, God, I can't think of the word to use. To its benefit, I guess. Not everyone just uses the same stuff. Like, so far we've seen being used the pretty like straightforward rules, the original stuff, which I actually kind of like. I like a return to some of the more basic rules, I guess. They haven't exactly explained how pendulum summoning works. My assumption is that you have two pendulum monsters and you can summon, I guess, upwards of three monsters as long as they're in between the levels of the two you have running the pendulum, I guess.
That's what I think it is. And obviously it's only three because there's only five spaces on the field. So,
yeah.
But, that's, I'm assuming that's how it works. And I like that it's different than just a different form of fusion. But, yeah, and the action duel was actually the second one, which happened in the third episode, was actually pretty neat. Like, I like some of the ideas they sort of presented. Like, he used his snake as, like, a rope to get around.
Yeah.
And that dude was, like, riding around on a mirror. Like, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, you really got to see sort of more of the, like, what they can do with the action duels in the third episode. like he said, he was swinging around on the snake thing and everything. It was actually pretty cool.
Well, the action duels will get action whacked off.
And apparently the action cards that they pick up aren't always going to be beneficial either. Like, some of them are actually traps.
I like that makes sense, that the traps, like, it was face down, it was a trap, and it was a bad thing. I like that. I didn't even think about that. So I kind of like that. I wonder if there'll be, like, hidden monsters at any point, like random monsters you might find that are specific to that field. That could be kind of interesting. Because we've seen magic and trap, so...
What else was I going to mention? I feel like there was something else I was going to bring up.
Well, I was going to bring up how in a couple episodes, I mean, we're only three in, but because I watched both of them back to back, and I feel very confused about our main character's personality, because he seems like such a mixture for me. Like, he's one part kind of novice, sort of Yuma-like in a way, because he lost to that girl immediately after defeating the champion. But anyway, he kind of has, like, that confident side, too, where he's kind of, like, that hero type, and then he's, like, an amateur, and then, like, there were several times throughout the episode where he seemed like a wounded puppy. He's like, were you gonna steal my card? It was like, you are so confusing. Pick a personality! I could not figure him out.
It doesn't help that this is the second time we've had another character mention that Yuya has sort of rebuilt himself, you know, sort of changed, which is such a stupid thing to bring up in the first few episodes. Yeah. Like, they brought up in the very first episode, and I'm like, we don't even know Yuya yet. We don't know anything about this character or what he's like. You can't just be like, oh man, he's changed so much. So what? We haven't seen it.
Hey, remember all the character development you had in episode zero? That was the best. You guys never get to see it. It was lost. Like my confy joke. And it just adds to the confusion of what, like, kind of character he's supposed to be. I don't know what he'll end up being, but I'd kind of like to just see a main character that's, like, competent. Like, on the lines of, like, Jaden, maybe, where he's competent, but he doesn't win all the time. Because with Yugi, he lost a couple times, but he was kind of that stereotypical lead that, like, never loses. And that gets old. I'd want to see someone that's, like, skilled enough right now that, you know, he can win, but he's not so skilled that he always wins. It's not like I always want to see a main character that's completely competent, but I think after Zexal, I'm kind of tired of the novice bit, because it just makes me have a hard time to follow the lead, especially when there's no other side characters to like right now. We just got a bunch of, like, really colorful circus friends, like, right now, kind of like Zexal. They all look just so weird.
Yeah. But I get what you're saying. It's nice to have back and forth. Like, it does get a little too dull if they're always winning, but at the same time, has the same effect if they're always losing. So having some kind of back and forth would really help.
Yeah.
People look weird in this series.
Yeah. Just like Zexal, like, you get, I can't remember what his fat friend's name was in Zexal, but he was strange, and now he's got, like, two littler kids, and one of them's wearing, like, bright orange overalls.
I don't know why it didn't hit me so much in Zexal as it did now, but watching these three episodes, I really don't like the art style.
Yeah, I really don't like the way they took it the past two series now.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about it. I don't like it. I really
don't.
It's so
weird, because, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Characters never look that normal, but... And if they ever did some sort of crossover or something, I mean, you say. Yeah, that's right. But somebody. But Yuma and this guy, Yuya, I mean, they could stand next to the other characters and still look like they fit. Like, it's not like a old Digimon-style Data Squad shift. But, like, the whole world looks like Beyblade threw up on it. Like, it honestly reminds me of, like, the Beyblade aesthetic, except some of the characters, when I see Beyblade commercials or anything online, look more normal. It's just, it looks like a circus show, which I guess this is. It's just so strange and off-putting.
Well, I love the description you had for it. Like, it looks like Beyblade threw up on it. Because that's kind of what I was thinking in my mind. It just looks like someone just vomited color all over Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah.
Because we mentioned this a bunch of times last week, but it is very colorful and bright. And that is a detriment. Not just that, you know, oh, I don't want it to be a bright and happy show or anything like that. Just it feels like so much is happening on screen all the time that it's hard to watch. Like, I actually took a break during one of the episodes today because I'm just like, I need to give my eyes a rest because just I'm trying to read while all of this color is flying all over the screen and the effects are, you know, they're sometimes brighter than the rest of the colors around, so it really stands out, and it's just, I need a break.
You're, like, almost prone to seizures during the show. it's such an overcorrection these last 2 years from 5Ds. Whether it underperformed or not, they obviously wanted to do something different, and I think they just overcorrected. They went completely in the opposite direction of at least in the color scheme. Because 5Ds, I don't want to say it was a gritty show. Like, the first couple seasons, had a little bit of a darker color palette to them, a little grittier style. But for lack of a better word, the colors and everything were a bit more realistic, a bit toned down. And this one, everything is just so in your face. It's like going from a bad part of town into a carnival.
Yeah, they took the brightening it up just a bit too far. Like, if you wanted a show that was like brighter and I guess more happier in tone than 5Ds, GX had a pretty good balance. I mean, it really was pretty lighthearted for the first chunk of that series.
And even when they got weirder, the colors of it still allowed for a tone shift easily.
Yeah, definitely.
Even to the where original series
here, it's like, if they did take a tone shift, I can't see it working as well, just because everything is so colorful that I don't know. I can't see taking an evil person seriously or just like a perilous moment seriously. I just can't.
And you know, I get the theme of his monsters, but I have a hard time taking him seriously with his monsters. He's got a cobra with a top hat and, like, a pink hippo. I'm like, I hope he gets some cooler-looking monsters. I don't mind some of the sillier ones, and characters have certainly had silly ones. I mean, Yusei's were pretty funny sometimes. He had, like, Quillbolt Hedgehog and a bunch of junk monsters and stuff.
Yeah, Yusei's were all based off of junk and scrap and garbage and stuff like that.
But he got some really cool looking ones later. Like, the dragons were obviously cool, but, like, I like Junk Warrior and, like, Nitro Warrior, and he got some cool stuff. So I'm hoping they at least get some stuff where I can, you know, I hate to say take it seriously in the fact that I don't want it to be dark or something, but when they're putting the fate of the world on a card game, you have to at least make it believable that the monsters look threatening and the action is fun. And we'd be like, all right, the fate of the world rests on the shoulders of this pink hippo and this cobra in a top hat. This one man show will save the world.
Yeah. heck, even Yuma's monsters were not this animated.
Yeah, their names were stupid. The Lady Gaga Magician and Go-Go Golem.
They were all cool. They were all onomatopoeia. That was the theme.
But they looked cool.
Yeah, they looked like Yu-Gi-Oh monsters. Yeah. Whereas these look almost too cartoonish. They look like they belong in Pegasus's deck.
Yeah, like Toon basically. Monsters. I could get behind that. A main character with Toon Monsters, at least it would make sense. I used to love the Toon Monsters. Man. Nothing DC Originals. but yeah, because it's not like they don't necessarily fit, because the spectrum of the card game is huge, but it's just for the main character to only be playing those cards right now, other than his oddball dragon. The Pendulum Monsters look normal, but I don't know if they can even attack. I think they just stand there and, like, watch. They're like, plans end.
I think what it is while they are being used as pendulum monsters, they probably can attack.
Yeah, but
if they were to be summoned normally, then they probably could. Because he is, when he summons them for the pendulum summoning, their levels are like really high. Yeah. Like you wouldn't be able to summon them normally. So
their the little like text box above their like attack and defense points looks so strange. It makes it look like a completely different card game.
It does.
Like my eyes finally drifted down to the attack and defense points and saw that it looked normal, but I'm like, holy crap, is that from like Magic or something? What the hell?
Yeah, because they have like two different text boxes, one for the pendulum summoning and one for their effect, and then, you know, they have their attack and defense, and then they have a pendulum score, and then they have the actual monster level, and it's kind of just like the series, like there's so much going on in one card.
It works out that way. It's like definitely a different look, because, you know, the past few years, all they do is just, the card looks normal, they just change the color. It's like,
yeah.
White was synchro, and Xyz was black, and then Fusion was always purple.
Speaking of those, I did actually kind of like that they mentioned them.
Oh, yeah, they all the different at the school.
Yeah, because they went to the school that teaches primarily dueling, I guess. And they mentioned the Fusion and the Synchro monsters and the Xyz monsters, which I like. Like, usually you don't see them brought up that much when it's not the focus of the series. Like,
yeah,
I don't think anyone in Zexal actually used Fusion or, you know, Synchro or anything like that. It was all Xyz.
There was a couple of Fusions in 5Ds. Actually, Yusei did one, but that was, like, very minimal.
Yeah.
I guess the gimmick of the original series was just, like, advanced summon, sacrificing.
It would be nice. I don't know how often or if at all they would do it. It would be nice to see the duels be more varied. With the other types of summoning in Arc 5.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I would like it if it's not just pendulum summoning all the time, which it more than likely will be, but, you know, it's nice to have it sort of changed up a bit.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like I mentioned before, they can, in 5Ds, everyone did Synchrone, and like 70% of the people in GX did polymerization stuff, and that's not how it works. Like, in the real world, on the streets of Yu-Gi-Oh! This is Yu-Gi-Oh! Town, motherfucker! No, but that's like, when I played, you know, most people have different decks. Even when the game was early starting out and you had a few variations, like, you know, beatdown decks or defense decks and Exodia, everyone's deck was different. Nobody ran the same gimmick once something came out. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, I get you're trying to sell it for the cards and it's the new thing, but you can sell it through the main character having it, but the opponents don't have to have it all the time. I'm just thinking about the X-Play bit. The dogs are here. I love the idea of like the Yu-Gi-Oh people being like the hardcore like gangster people of like the Pokemon Yu-Gi-Oh type stuff. Cracks me up. And they show them playing, throwing cards down. I'm all in, son. Oh, I love that stuff. I miss those skits. Anyway, but the episodes overall weren't bad. It's got me interested enough right now to keep watching for a bit.
Yeah.
The duel was pretty entertaining. Like, the monsters are still kind of strange, but I think the concept is fun to watch.
If they keep the action duels interesting, I think it could turn out well.
Yeah.
I do think, like you were mentioning with Yuya, I think maybe the characters could use some tweaking, but
yeah. And one other huge thing to keep me interested is to make sure that the story, you know, flows nicely so that Zexal felt like story episode, 20 episodes of fighting people that have cat monsters, and then like maybe like a half a story episode mixed with like a tomato themed deck. It was like so many like tiny little breadcrumbs that would keep you invested. And I mean, there's always going to be filler, but they need to keep something. They need to keep more of a balance, and they need to give me something that I'm actually interested in. Because I was legitimately sort of interested in Astral's whole backstory, but it was so few and far between, I just gave up. I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to wait till this ends and then read the Wikipedia. Like, that's what I'm going to do.
It is unfortunate that Zexal became like that, because I remember watching the first 20 or so episodes before it came out, you know, with the dub. And I liked them. I legitimately liked the beginning chunk of Zexal. I thought it was entertaining. But yeah, it did kind of go downhill from there.
Yeah, like that carnival went on way too long. That's around where I quit, when I realized the carnival was never going to end. I feel like one day I might try to go back and finish it, or like emphasis on try, when I'm like in a Yu-Gi-Oh mood, because I really don't have anything left to watch. I think I still have that triple crossover movie left, and then there was like a special like mini movie that was just a duel between Jack and Yusei, but that's pretty much it. I guess I could finish GX season 4, because I never did completely finish it. But see,
I never finished GX season 4. I just kind of flash forward to the
duel. That's what I did. I watched a couple episodes. There was some weird stuff going on, and then I'm like, oh hey, look, Jaden and Yugi dueled. Why did Jaden say Samurizer? I was like, what? and then he said cupcakes are ours when Neos attacked. I was like, come on, this is getting weird.
Okay.
Speaking of cupcakes, it's time for our caption contest. Brian, do you got a jingle for us?
Because now it's time for the RR Capture Contest.
Not bad.
That jingle sucks.
It sounded like you said Capture Contest.
Maybe I did.
Are we going to capture people?
Yes.
We're capturing your best answers.
That's great. Nice save. Brian just did damage control for Brian. Brian made another kid cry. It was great. Okay, so we actually got several ones we want to read this week. There was a lot more answers this week, which was really nice. If you don't know, the picture was a picture of, I'll just say, every time I say picture, just take a shot. It was of Wizard pointing at Gaim here, and they are doing some funny poses.
And we all know that Gaim likes penis.
All right, so who wants to go first?
I will go first, because I am picking Chris Hutchinson's answer. Ooh. I don't know who that guy is, but...
I heard his name's Ryan.
And so he says, Gaim, and JDF's ego was this big.
True story.
All right.
I also like George Johansson Jr.'s answer, because it took a shot at Shell Riders, which I always like. I was filming Kamen Rider Tyson with Ichigo. He went to Henshin and his old sagging flat chest... Sorry, I started laughing. His old sagging chest flew out. They went out to there. He was really old and busted.
He was really old and busted.
Okay, you gotta emphasize it, right?
I forgot. Emphasis! It was spherical! Spherical! That was good.
I like Edgar Quecks, where he's like, Wizard, that's how long my sword gun is, ladies. Because that's something I would say, and it made me laugh.
You gotta get really low and creepy when you say ladies, though. That's how long my sword gun is, ladies.
Ladies.
Mine's like a really basic form of entertainment for me, but I do actually really like Corey Gong's grope, grope, pew, pew.
Gong. I missed doing And then I also liked J. Jonah Jameson's Joel James DeGasia, Jumanji. Anyway, there's so much fun to be had with your name. I'm sorry.
Jumanji.
Remember when Rick Medina got trapped there? That was fun. He says, Gaim, hey, Wizard, can you believe JDF cheated in Morphin Madness? Wizard, no, now, wait, no, why did he do such a thing? Voiceover, Jason David Frank has never had a real job in his life. Just like Bobby Newport. Bobby Newport.
Bobby Newport.
Bobby. Now we're just
Jason
wasting time,
David
Larry.
Jason David Frank has never had a job in his real life.
Now we're just wasting time, Devin.
Aw. Instead, he just milks Power Rangers for 20 years.
It's going to be longer than 20 years. You're going to keep going.
Yeah!
Yeah! Pepper King!
So much. He's going to take pictures of his pills. His pill's green! Yeah!
Look at my cane! It's green! Yeah!
This year 2024. That's only 10 years from now. I don't know. I
wow.
Old really fast.
Aged. He he part Asian? What does he age really fast?
Asian.
Asian.
I kind of like Cory Gong's first answer. You said, gee, wizard, it's time to pass the torch, just because that's our pun style.
Classic. I do not approve of our disembodied RR bot approving the second entry.
Hey.
Thanks a lot, RR bot.
I like that disembodied RR bot. He's a pretty cool guy.
I wonder who on earth that could be.
I thought it was Brian, so.
Who?
Your mother.
Classic Devin.
Anyway. That about covers it, I think, for this week.
There was a lot of answers this week, a lot of good ones that we liked, so keep that coming for next week. So I don't know the image is going to be. I'm not in charge.
It should go up after this week's episode goes up, so tomorrow.
Yeah.
You bet.
So yeah, just that'll be up for 2 weeks. Comment on that. Wait, we should probably, I'm going to final thingies to say actual final thingies thing. Let's be proper.
Okay, because now be it's professional. Time for
final things.
Guess what?
I have a thingy and it is not final.
So yeah, like I said, comment on the picture. It'll be up for 2 weeks. We will sporadically put up your thoughts on episodes things. We may or may not forget them. Sorry about last week's. But you can comment on those and then always send in Twitter questions.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-oh, emergency alert system is about to go off. It overrides my mute button. Quick.
Oh, God, run.
I got it. Ha. You're not going to get me, Amber Alert.
And we always have our JDF discussion. I didn't hear that. I was busy. I was busy beating off on Dawson's head.
Whatever floats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to ours.
Hi, Mom.
Four. Slow-mo version.
Sounded like Brian just powered down.
That's pretty much where I'm at right now. Okay.
You go and you get all these guys in the Walking Dead who have a line like three times what JDF has. For like not even small at bedtime with my sister the past couple. What?
Hold on.
I don't understand what's happening.
Hello?
What's going on? Hello?
Kevin sounded like he was fast-forwarding. I want that power.
What happened?
Okay, I think we're okay now.
Hello?
What happened?
Roll call. Hey!
Okay.
Erso, you good?
Hey.
Whoa,
yeah, I can hear.
Okay.
What was the last thing you got me saying coherently?
Start at you have the Walking Dead. So I mean,
everyone's like talking through their timeline.
Dawson's all sped up now. I don't know what's happening?
I reset my internet completely, so hopefully.
No. Okay. We're all talking at different times.
I can hear Brian clearly, and I know he is having problems hearing both of you, and I'm having problems hearing both of you. So I don't know if it's just the two of your connections or what, but it's very amusing.
Because for me, Brian's clear and fine. And you weren't talking that much, but then Kevin was speeding up. I want the power to fast forward Kevin, like at all times. It was just funny. Well, he's like, The Walking Dead. Well, the one ups get a little lengthy. It was funny, though, because you're like, The Walking Dead. And then I was caught up. It was like lag. Anyway, we're talking about David Yost.
I think it's okay
shaking
now.
People.
Yeah.
Okay. Right before it's not okay.
David
Stop
Yost shaking
head.
Babies.
What? Never shake a baby unless you're David Yost. I don't know why that would be a thing. Anyway, but with the exception of G, who refused to meet me, all this, I had a little conversation with. Damn it, Kevin! Stop rolling around. Can you ever just sit
I'm
still?
I'm not trying to plug my headset in. It's dying.
Damn.
Not even moving.
We'll die somewhere else. Anyway. I'm sorry. He's like, no pictures. He's like, cool, man. Like, first day. But yeah, I mean, it's just funny that. Sorry.
God
it's
damn it.
Son of a bitch.
I don't
What's
know. What
that
to,
mean?
I don't know what to do.
We could always murder him.
This week, the game. Experiences.
I have to reset this fucking internet.
Am I going normal? Slow down, Flash. Wait, am I fast?
Yes.
Like not like slutty.
It's you. It's you and Kevin. Because I, aerosol's fine. Aerosol's perfect.
Whoa, that's the main. Aerosol's perfect. I won't go that far. Well, am I speeding up?
You were.
I know I was. That's not what I asked. I meant, like, right in fucking now.
Not right fucking now.
Also, can I fuck right now?
Oh. Dawson's restarting.
Am I fast?
No, you're
so let's
awful.
Talk about
am
it while he's gone.
Am I going too fast to even be heard?
You're awful.
You really are. You're just an awful human being.
Wait. Am I here?
I think we're on a really bad
We're not
way.
Leaving. Where are we going?
Fuck this. Hello?
I don't know who to blame. I think it's... I blame me anyway.
Shinko.
Let me just restart my entire modem and...
You didn't do that before?
I reset my connection with the computer. I didn't reset my modem. So let me do that. I'll be right back.
Alright.
Cocksucker! My penis is here.
I hope that fixed it.
My penis fixes everything, usually. Okay. You know Hello? What it is? Hello?
It was the chili. Oh shit, that's wrong.
We're recording?
No, we're not.
Oh, okay, good. You know what it was? It wasn't Brian's internet that was the problem. JDF knows. We're talking about him.
I thought it was just all of our time travel catching up with us. That's what I thought it was. We were all moving at different speeds. I think Kevin and I sounded like chipmunks.
Hey, Dave!
JDF knows we're talking about him and is trying to prevent it. It's his fanboys. They're alerting him to the haters.
Anyway.
Well, Buck Dino style.
Hello. Oh, nope. That's for tomorrow.
So you save your hellos for tomorrow, Brian. They're no good here.
We're really on Wednesday. We just jump right in.
Brian forgot what timeline we were in.
I did.
He sounded like you had a streak in your hair, Brian. This isn't the almost darkest timeline.
Could you tell that I have a streak in my hair?
It sounded like it.
Oh, good.
Brian has a streak in his hair in a timeline? That's a frightening concept.
It's a joke. I don't get it either, but it's a joke.
Aerosol and I get it, and that's what matters. Was it me again?
No, it was me.
Oh, okay. Because I was waiting for it to reconnect me. What was the last thing you heard me say? Comfy?
It was that he lost to a girl right after being the champion or something.
Oh, yeah, you missed me creating the word comfy. I created the word comfy off camera.
Okay, so everyone lost the call?
Yeah. No, okay, you're dead.
I don't know where Kevin went.
This is purgatory. We're still here, though. Because we were always in purgatory. Greendale's purgatory. I knew it. Stop making realize stuff. Wait, I got the line wrong. Anyway, back on track. Kevin's trying to figure out how to open a door. It's fine. He'll figure it out. Can I go?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was saying how he's sort of immature, or like a novice, and then I was trying to say he was confident and cocky and accidentally said he's confy. So that was funny, but everyone missed that. I was laughing. Brian?
Ooh, I was muted. Brian. I started jingling and everything, and no one could hear me. Hold on, I'm trying to get Kevin back in the car.
That sounds so funny. I love that we use cars to represent.
Hold on one second.
Best way to do it is just junk the car. Make a new one.
Made a new car.
Hi, queers.
Hello.
What happened?
Like, I got my internet died, and then you didn't get back in the car.
Oh.
You missed Comfy.
They've been talking about Yu-Gi-Oh! For like a half hour, and I was bored out of my mind.
And that's why I fell asleep.
I invented the word comfy like 3 times.
You invented the word coffee?
Confy.
I went and took a poop.
Oh, God.
You know, Brian, if you watched Yu-Gi-Oh!, maybe you wouldn't be so bored.
No, I'm pretty sure you would be.
You could see the new Cobra.
That's a stretch.
You could see the Cobra rope.
I do kind of want to see the Cobra in a top hat or whatever.
Ryan is like, are you guys on drugs?
There's another one, an eel made of swords.
Oh yeah,
with a bow tie, I think.
And then the end of the episode, he's riding like a surskit or something.
It's a magician surskit because he's got like a little twirly mustache and everything.
It's so exciting! It's a magical surskit. How can this not sound exciting?
You're describing it.
Okay, so anyway, that was the first portion of the caption contest discussion about magical Yu-Gi-Oh! Monsters.
Can I jingle now?
Oh, yeah, jingle it up.
Jingle me.
Jingle all the way.
Jingle me banana.
What the hell is going on
there?
What does she want?
Stupid Amber. Oh, fuck, Amber's terrorizing us again?
I'm confused.
Children getting kidnapped.
The emergency alert system thing came on my TV, and I have my cable muted. But if I have the cable muted on the cable, but it overrides it. So whenever it's quiet in here, all of a sudden I'll go. So I was going for the TV remote to mute it.
I feel like children in Colorado would purposely get themselves kidnapped just to get out of Colorado. Just to get someplace safer.
What if they took them somewhere in Colorado? There's no guarantee.
Oh, there isn't, but they.
Wanted kidnapper that takes me out of state.
But they figure at least they've got a shot. If they get kidnapped,
they might literally get one. So
in the mouth.
Still, the chances are not very good.
Unless they get a shot right in the mouth.
I hope we stopped recording.
Semen.